That's the World Saxophone Quartet, comprising Hamiet Blewett on baritone, Julius Hemphill on alto, Oliver Lake also on alto, and David Murray on tenor sax, performing Blewett's composition, I Heard That. It's from their 1989 album, Rhythm and Blues. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrace Lead, and today we ponder the question, which of course you will amply answer. Is she still speaking with forked tongue? We are going to be discussing Hillary Clinton's recent statement that she is just now a private citizen, but part of the resistance. And the reason we're going to discuss this is we know a bit of history here. And what I want to get at is not so much about Hillary. She's a known entity. We're really clear about that. But it has more to do with the alternative that began to assemble itself last year, and maybe even the year before that. I'm talking about the Sanders movement that began to take shape as the resistance. And what has happened to it? Is it stopped? Is there movement? Is there clarity about where Sanders is, where the Democratic Party is? Is Hillary Clinton planning a resurrection, as the folks in Brooklyn are saying, the resurrection of Hillary Clinton? If that is the case, it is no question that the Democratic Party, now involving Sanders, this would be his second walloping, because she will suck up all the energy in the party and do what she did before, which is to arrogate all of the resources of the party to herself in whatever it is she proposes to do as part of the resistance, unquote. So what are we looking at here? And this is a question for us to ponder today. What is the state of affairs with this arrangement, this new arrangement, in which the Democratic Party sort of has a leader, but doesn't quite? It sort of is reforming itself, but it kind of seems to have stopped a bit. It's sending mixed messages. And we're hearing about this new party that is being reinvigorated by the shared leadership of Tom Perez and Keith Ellison. But now, just as of a few days ago, comes the awesome message that Hillary Clinton is not done yet, which means she's not done with the Democratic Party apparatus yet. So is this new resurgence of the Democratic Party also to serve as a resurgence, a revitalization of Hillary Clinton's political agenda, whatever that turns out to be? She's been out of circulation for a while. She has come back. She had said that pretty much, you know, she's done with politics and will turn her attention to something else. But we know her to be a pathological liar, so we cannot trust anything she says. But I'm less concerned about where Hillary intends to go and more concerned about what this means, her statement means, or is likely to cause in terms of ripple effects within the Democratic Party. And we have been wrestling with this question of the relationship between the Democratic Party and Bernie Sanders, who, as we well recall, was a target, in fact, of Hillary Clinton. She just about destroyed his chances of actually winning. But I can't blame her. That's what any candidate would do. We do have to blame, or we do have to point the finger at Bernie Sanders for refusing to have enough faith in his movement, his own movement, and the possible growth of this movement to a point of having enough strength to sustain his candidacy. But all these complicated things came into play. There were thoughts about Bernie Sanders was actually destroying the Democratic Party and the chances of Hillary Clinton to win. So that when the party itself sabotaged his campaign, he wasn't too loud about it. He was quite meek about it. And then we have the puzzling behavior of Sanders going back into or trying to form an even stronger bond with a party that had tried to slaughter his chances of success at the polls. And it looked like he had a good shot. So let us ponder this question today, given all these facts that we know, that we know the history of Sanders and the Democratic Party. We saw recently Sanders taking on a more aggressive role, not only as recruiter for the party, but also advocating for the party, joining the party. It has been a source of frustration and contention, because while all of this is going on, Sanders himself is encouraging an attachment of the people who were part of his movement to the Democratic Party, which looks now, and we see clearly, we're seeing how these alliances are all playing out. And they still are playing out predictably to support the candidates it has been accustomed to supporting, operating the way it has been accustomed to operating, driving this this effort to rev up its base. And its base is now, it can't deny it, its base is predominantly Black and Latino. So now they have a Latino as the head of the party, of the Democratic National Committee. They have a Black Muslim as his cohort in a vice presidential role. So they've squared that. It is no accident, and I thought about that last night, it is no accident that the Democratic Party, Hillary Clinton, and her big donors have selected June the 6th in Brooklyn at the Medgar Evers commencement to kickstart for real her new political agenda. And it is in the heart of the Black community. It is where her campaign headquarters were, and I presume it to some degree still are, located. There's a lot that is coming together here, and it's not a very comforting picture. So we're going to take a look at this. What does this mean? Not for Hillary's. You know, that would be self-evident. It's becoming self-evident already. But what does this mean for those of us who, because of the political circumstances that existed during and prior to the election, where the Democratic Party was just such a retrograde party, that Sanders' movement had given it the possibility of a new life, but he abandoned that. He abandoned his movement. While the Democratic Party was trying to slaughter him, to kill him off, in order to give Hillary Clinton a break, since it was preordained that she would be the president of the United States. And she's still running on that cord. She has not abandoned that way of thinking. The presidency belongs to her. But look at the damage the party has done in sabotaging Sanders, Sanders sabotaging his own movement, Sanders not making a big deal about the actions of the Democratic Party, and instead went along and said, okay, well, you know, this is politics, and I'm proceeding, and, you know, people should just proceed with me. Those who are with me will be with me. Then next thing you know, he becomes an acolyte of the Democratic Party. What's going on here? Let's decipher this, shall we, today at 888-874-4888. By the way, let me just remind you that this issue of, it's not just Hillary Clinton getting an honorary doctorate at the Medgar Evers College commencement in Brooklyn on June the 6th. She's also making the commencement speech. You know, and it is specifically planned to be in Brooklyn. I understand they expect about 6,500 people, at least. They're trying to pack the arena to make it appear that Hillary Clinton is just so adored. And she's coming home to Brooklyn in the heart of the black community and a college named after one of our greatest idols, Medgar Evers. And you smell underhanded arrangement all through this. Both the arena and where Hillary Clinton had her headquarters are owned by, I think it's Bruce Ratner, who is a big deal in the real estate business and is one of her staunchest supporters. So this is not accidental. This is an arranged thing to launch, to be the big launching with all these lovely, lovely black people who are adore Hillary Clinton, and she is going to be the Queen Mother presiding over this fantastic event, and there you go. But we ought to short-circuit that. We ought to short-circuit that and let people know that she is a known entity, and we're going to make our presence felt as well, and we are doing our best. We'll be joining with the community groups, especially the Haitian community. But it is the black community in Brooklyn who knows a very different Hillary Clinton, and we will be dealing with that. But let's get to our question today, 888-874-4888. Up first, Jay, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Nutrice. How are you feeling, and how is your arm doing?
It's still here. It's still attached, although I do look a little bit like Popeye, but I'm hanging in. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Listen, I think basically what it shows is that the Democratic Party has no type of vision whatsoever as a party or for the people that it serves. It's no way in this God green earth that you would have two individuals at the age of 70-year-old be at the forefront of your party and moving forward the direction of the party, with so many of these young people out here today fighting for some sort of improvement, and what just happened with Obamacare if they pass this vote. It seems like all of the work that you've done in regards to Hillary Clinton and what she's done to the Haitian people has gone somewhat for naught. I think that, you know, one of the things, I don't know if we have to blame ourselves as your listeners, or, you know, if we have to maybe figure out a way to categorize the work that you have done in regards to Hillary Clinton and pass it on to this clown Cruz over at Mega Evers. Because the bottom line is this, it's no way in God's green earth that I would ever support her getting anything from a black institution, especially someplace like Mega Evers, based on her history, on how she has treated black people here in America and what she's done to the Haitian people. Now, unfortunately, we as activists, in a sense, haven't figured out a way to facilitate to the mass public how and what she's done. Now, I want to take 1 second and address something that happened to one of your most profound listeners and calling people on your radio program, Sister Patricia. She called into that famous Negro radio station who shuck and jive for the Democratic Party, Open Line, on I think it's BLS in New York City. And, you know, whenever Patricia calls in, she always put them on blast in a sense because of how much they love Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party. And they really have no type of vision whatsoever for the people in the community. And it's sad because they've been on the air for 30 years. And they basically feel as though the only freedom and direction that people, black people, have to be free in this country is through the Democratic Party. And you had a gentleman call up and basically call Patricia a fool for attacking Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party. I would just like to publicly say that if we had more women like Patricia out here in our community, we would be so much far better off. I've learned so much from this sister. I respect this sister so much, and I couldn't get through this week to address this character, but I will eventually get through to address them. But I just want to let you know, Patricia, that I admire you, I respect you, I appreciate you, and you are the type of example that our children need to see and listen to and be around. And thank you again. And I just wanted to publicly address that, Utrice, because Patricia is what we need as a people, and she's somebody that should be the head of the Democratic Party instead of Ellison and Perez, because they have no vision. They have no vision for us. And it's absolutely
My question is today, just to leapfrog over this, my question is, in recognition of that very statement that you just made, what are we doing? What sense, we're able to make sense of the situation, what are we doing? Even when we talk about, well, you know, Sanders has a movement over there, and the Green Party has another political alternative that it is offering. But at the same time, we're stuck. So, in fact, are we stuck? But you got us started, and there are a lot of people in queue. So thank you for calling in, Jay, and getting us started today. Thank you for your contribution. Let's go to Patricia. Are you the Patricia he's talking about?
First of all, Utrice, How are you? I am so happy to hear that you're doing well. Just, you know,
continue.
And greetings to the PRN family. I am speechless. I am absolutely speechless because I did not realize that anyone else had heard that. As you know, because, you know, not enough people listen to you, Eutrice. And so my role is to educate as many people as I can. And so that is the medium that I use. I call into these shows regularly because I want the larger audience to acquire some information, to share the information that you have shared with us. And so when I called in this past week, it was really to address the failure of our allegiance to a dysfunctional system that harms us. So what happened was the host said to me, I know you're a Bernie Sanders person. And I said, you never understood. I was never a Bernie Sanders person. I was an anti-Hillary Clinton person. And so my goal was to put as many blocks in her way as possible. What I said to everybody during the primary was, if somebody put a gun to my head and said, choose between Hillary or Trump, because otherwise I will blow your brains out. Everybody I knew, I said, I will choose Trump. Knowing who he is, I will take my lumps, but I will never pull that lever for Hillary. So it was in that context that I call in. I call in to share information with the people who do not listen to this station and to this program. And he is right. The person said to me that I was an absolute idiot, a fool. I didn't know what I was doing. But in answer to your question, I think the first thing that people need is information. And so we must continue to share that information in as broad a medium as we possibly can. And then the second thing that we can do is begin to look for people in our immediate environment and community, because we know that if you run as a Democrat, you will be co-opted before you even get in the door. So we have to find people who are uncorruptible, literally uncorruptible. Now, is that a risk for being uncorruptible? Well, we know that the answer is yes, because everybody who has never been corruptible is dead or maligned or silenced or something. So we know there is a risk. But there must be somebody out there with principle, and we've got to find them. I don't care where we have to dig for them. We got to find them.
What does this scenario, this developing scenario, suggest to you?
Well, you know, I was under the misassumption that Hillary was dead, but she's got more lives than a cat, and clearly. So clearly I was very short-sighted in my analysis. But clearly she's on the rise back, so we need to make sure that her ascension is thwarted.
Our attitude be about Bernie Sanders?
You should ask me that question, Eutrice. Because 2 days ago I came off the subway at 96th Street. And there was a gentleman with a petition to get Bernie, to ask Bernie to run as an independent for president for the next, in 2020. So I said to him, are you not concerned about what Bernie did? And he said, well, what did he do? And I said, well, after everything he said about Hillary during the campaign, he delivered 13 million votes to her. He said, oh, nobody ever asked me that. I said, okay, well, now I have.
Well, there you go. Spreading joy all over the place.
I'm doing my best.
Thank you so much, Patricia, for your
Take
call
care,
today.
Now.
Thank you. We go to New Mexico. Gary, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you today?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Well, not very well. I'm actually okay today.
Good. That's good news, if you're okay.
Thank you. How long do I have to speak, by the way?
Now, What do you make of this burgeoning or developing scenario? What is it beginning to look like to you?
Which burgeoning scenario? You mean the world situation right now?
This is the Hillary Clinton saying she's just a private person being part of the resistance.
Well, you're speaking to, believe it or not, probably the most important man in the world. I'm not the president, but I went to be the president. I just called the government line to email the president, but they didn't return phone calls. Yeah. He didn't pay me as responsible, but I'll tell you exactly what's happening to me, South Korea, Mexico. I'm against child prostitution and the sex slavery, and this is the land of Satanists, and we have a corrupt government. His name is Richard Berry, and he gives me harassment. I know someone else.
You're slightly off the topic today. Maybe tomorrow would be a better day, since tomorrow is our Free Your Mind Friday.
Well, we'll speak about Hillary Clinton. I know about her. I read the true news off of the internet news, okay, which is not completely censored as of yet. By the way, I've kept freedom of speech up. I've kept the internet going. I've actually stopped my own phone in Las Vegas. I stopped President Obama from tsunamiing New York City to deal with a HAARP array, H-A-A-R-P array. Anyway, Hillary Clinton is a Satanist pig bastard who molests children. You know that? I'm not afraid to say it.
No, but at the same time, you know, it's not the kind of thing we want to say out in public without having absolute proof.
You have absolute proof. It's all on YouTube. They wouldn't spend millions and millions of dollars on videos and give top secret information if it wasn't true. By the way, I'm also a victim of the MK Ultra program, the CIA program, instituted in Nazi Germany in the 40s.
I would suggest you do, because we want to stay on point. Tomorrow is a far more relaxed atmosphere where you can talk about anything you wish to talk about, but we want to move along with our discussion. We have a focus today, but I thank you so much for calling and for contributing. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Therese.
Hello.
I'm not going to ask you. I'm going to assume you're doing good today.
I'm hanging in.
Yeah. Okay. You know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. So it's with a lot of disappointment and I think cynicism that I see the Democrats doing the same thing over and over again, trying to push this woman upon us like they did last time. And I have to say that tell you before, I worked very hard in the Bernie campaign, but I think what made my effort especially noticeable is that I had a friend who actually had worked in my campaign living in the projects who informed me that him and his wife were going to vote for Hillary wholeheartedly. And this is somebody who had been subjected to the prison industrial complex and cops bashing them. So I wrote him a letter, and I outlined in the letter the things that Hillary was guilty of. And one of them was, you know, calling black children super predators, NAFTA, GATT, you know, and the whole nine yards. And I asked all of the people who would eventually look at this letter to think twice before you pull that lever. Careful what you ask for, because this is the woman that was okay with putting people in jail for the rest of their lives on three strikes or out. And now we have the fattest prison population next to China in the world. And who is sitting in the prison? So this is somebody who pushed this kind of policy. And, you know, during my campaign with Bernie, what I made, my effort was to go into as many projects as I could. So I went to the New England projects. I went to the Camden projects. I went here in the South Bronx, because it was very important to me that the black population got this, because they were the ones that were going to deliver this victory to Hillary. And they did deliver this victory to Hillary. And so it's really dismaying to see that we're going to go back again, that people still don't feel indignant. I remember that my husband went into one of the headquarters in a very poor neighborhood in New Jersey, Whitesboro. My husband is also African-American. And man, he landed back out there on his keister. He got such a heaping helping of Hillary and get the hell out of here. We don't want anybody else but Hillary. So it was the hardest sell to get the black population to get on board with not supporting Hillary. So where do I think the Democratic Party is? I think they're old. And I think one of the things that Democrats continue to not do is they are not putting their pulse, their finger on the pulse of the people of the United States. And they are, continue to do what they want to do that's going to suit them personally instead of taking care of the population, giving service.
But what I'm saying is these things are, we established this. We discussed these things that you're pointing
right.
out. Mm-hmm. What is the antidote as we see things shaping up now and knowing even just recent history that was working against the guy you were trying to help get elected, mm-hmm. Bernie Sanders? Mm-hmm. We see mm-hmm. his very puzzling behavior since then.
What?
And,
no, I don't
and
think...
therefore, what are we supposed to be doing right now and thinking right now?
Well, you know, I don't know what in particular we're supposed to be doing right now. And I can tell you that I think that what America's going to do is going to be very predictable. Most of the people are just going to not do anything. They're going to sit on the sidelines frustrated and not do anything at all. So they'll stay at home. And then you'll have the power
but
players.
We are activists. That's what Jay just said. We are people with a certain bit more knowledge. We have a kind of hand, maybe a pinky, on the political developments. So what is the best thing that we should be doing and thinking right now? We're seeing things developing. She's made a statement.
I'm going to tell you, that one of the things I see that's also happening at the same time is, you know, Donald Trump almost put her in this great position because he's making her look like Hillary of Arc, this damsel in distress. And so I think that the people that are running her have done a very smart thing. They're going to put her out there again, and they're going to run her in a different way. They're going to run her in this thing called the resistance, which is unbelievable because you know, truly the Clintons are part of the problem. And I don't know too many activists, frankly, that are going to do anything about this. I have to say that, honestly, most of the activists that I run into do not get that involved in local politics, in politics like this. I mean, some of them do. A lot of people that are hard to the left don't even vote. They'll sit on the sidelines and they'll complain about it, but they don't vote. And they don't run people they know. And so that's half the problem. I mean, people are complaining about the stock and the stock of candidates that's out there. And then when a candidate does come out there that's walking the walk and talking the talk, that candidate gets, you know, accolades of, you know, bitterness and hatred for even stepping up to the plate. It's a very hard thing. I do want to say one thing about yesterday, though.
I'm pretty sure before we move on. Here's a really, really important clue. The Women for Women International interview, which was, you know, one of her most extensive so far since getting trounced, is an indicator. She played very well to a New York base. This event that is coming up, and believe me, these are things that I am just putting together. It's not like this is something that was known. You're just paying attention to how people are moving and what they're saying. Her intention clearly is to use this speech, this commencement speech. Somebody paid for it, and I suspect it's the same guy who owns the Barclays Center and a lot of real estate in Brooklyn and all over the city, who was one of her donors. I imagine she was paid quite handsomely for that, but she is getting the privilege of making this dramatic speech in an arena. This is not being held at the university or a neighborhood hall. This is at the Barclays Center. This is at the arena where Beyonce and so forth, they perform there. So this is being built up as a big deal. This is her grand entry or re-entry into politics of some sort, or a signal that she intends to do something quite substantial in the way of politics. So you look at the choreography And you see where it is trying to support her to go. This is happening immediately after the Democratic Party itself has begun a reformation. She sucked all of the oxygen out of that party. And when she left to do her presidential campaign, after the campaign, the party was drained of its resources. So you add these things up and you see something is coming, and the focus that she has, where she is sure to get a great deal of support, is within the African-American community. It's tried and true. So she's repeating that again, which tells me that something big is about to break. And the choreography is bringing all of this together to make a spectacular entry, re-entry back into political life. What do you say?
I say that you're right, that is what they're preparing to do. But I also say they don't learn anything. And I'm telling you, it didn't work last time, and it's not going to work again this time. Because the problem that you had before is exactly the same as it is now. The only thing I see happening is that she may pick up a few sympathy votes, but you still have this problem, especially with the place you're talking about, Barclays. You know, I've protested against that thing. Ratner has torn down everything. The heart of all of Brooklyn he's torn down and turned into high-rises. So I think that people that are a little bit in the know are probably going to hold back from, celebrating this event. But I think the problem with the Democrats is that they don't learn anything from their past mistakes. So I see a lot of effort and a lot of money being spent on this, but I do not think the Democrats, are going to pick up any more steam with a little sympathy. They might, but I doubt it. And so I think we're still at the same place, and we still have people that are ahead of the party that are thinking very old-fashioned politics. And I think, generally speaking, as the party goes, is that there's a philosophy in the Democratic Party that it's kind of a selfish party now. It's a party about, let me get what I can for myself, but I won't think about the whole community. In other words, we don't think of the community as a whole and what's good for that community and who's going to lead that community with our ideas. We think
But you're discounting the Bernie factor here.
It doesn't matter, because Bernie people are not blind. I'm not blind. The people that I met with Bernie, these are not people that jumped on the bandwagon for Hillary Clinton. I know if you looked at the numbers too, that's not what happened. It was independent people that said, and this is clear, this is where the Democrats made the biggest mistake in the world, is by not supporting him. He had 14% in Florida, she had 5%. And they made a calculated risk and said, we think she can pull it out in Florida, she couldn't. Because the independent voters said that they would vote for Bernie over Trump. But if it was Hillary and Trump, they would vote for Trump over Hillary. So we threw that out. We didn't listen to what the people in the country were saying. And we wasted this opportunity. And now we have, what do you call them, presidential chaos? Yeah, President Chaos is in the White House now. So you said that. And I'm going to send Hillary your show from yesterday, because I think if she listens to it, she's not going to come to New York. Scare the shit out of anybody.
But she's here. The reason I keep asking about Bernie Sanders is that are people making a demand of Bernie Sanders now? The pieces are beginning to fall into place. You either say something and do something definitive about where you are and where you're going, or you shut up and get out of the way.
I don't think that we're going to see Bernie Sanders getting out there if Hillary is planning a second run. I don't see him getting behind her and saying, get on board with Hillary, because I believe that he'll take that opportunity for himself. I believe that I don't care what his age is. I'm not into identity politics. I listen to what he says, and I believe that if Bernie Sanders wants to run again, due to this trauma with President Chaos, that people will run to the polls this time and they will pull that lever. She will still have the same problem as she had last time. Remember, they spent millions of dollars on advertising her. She had tons of free media, and this is the best that she could come up with. So I still don't see that, that the Democrats high up have solved the problem. They still can't solve this problem of the 30 somethings. These kids that are out here working so hard. And you know, the thing that Democrats have to come up against is that people in their 30s and that are young like this still are very idealistic. And it's very hard for you to make them drink that Kool-Aid. And so I think that you're going to see, if Bernie comes out and runs again, you're going to see a huge amount of people that are going to come out, and probably more this time. And I think people are also wanting very much for him to go out and run on a third party. I don't know about the third party thing, because it, as much as I'd like to see it happen, it just never happens. I mean, you can't run in East Harlem, where I live, on a third party. You will not win. I'm telling you, can't win, because every person that is living here, almost every single person, is voted as a Democrat. So it would be extremely hard to go in as a Green or to go on any other independent ticket, although I would very much like to do that. I mean, I don't consider myself, I mean, I'm a Democrat, but that's how I vote, but that's where it stops. And I don't vote, I didn't vote for Hillary this time, I voted for Jill Stein. So I don't vote automatically Democrat because the person is a Democrat. I'm, you know, further to the left than that. But I think that we're not headed for disaster, we're just headed for like this mud puddle in the road that nobody can get through. It's not going to happen. I don't care how much money these people push into her. You couldn't pull it over our eyes the first time, and you're not going to be able to pull it over our eyes this time. It's just not going to happen like that. They're going to have to come up with a hat trick, somebody a lot more viable than Hillary.
Thank you, Gwen, for your comments today. Thanks so much. We go to Chicago. Henry, you're on the air. Henry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. How you doing, Trees?
Okay. I'm hanging in. How about you?
All right. Glad to hear you're doing okay. So that's a
Thank
good thing.
You.
I guess the problem with us is, I guess it's not a Democrat thing. It's a duopoly thing, you know, because people have this thing with politics is that we have to vote for either or. And as much as the Democrats have failed us, you know, it's sort of like, well, we don't have any choice but to vote, you know, for Democrat, because we definitely don't want to go Republican, which I can understand. But we have to get out of this mindset that, you know, that we have to vote for either or. Now,
but the
I'll
question, what I want to hear from you today, though, is about what you understand the statement to mean. I'm a private citizen, and I'm part of the resistance.
She's a liar. I mean, that's the blunt of it, you know. She's a liar.
And if this is the case, what does this mean? How should we be positioned at the moment? What should we be anticipating would happen?
Well, what should we do, or what's going to happen?
Well, pick it.
Okay. What should we do is basically we should not, well, obviously not supporting her and not supporting the Democratic Party is a viable option. What's going to happen is basically people are going to run back to Hillary because of the fact that Trump or President Chaos is doing all this damage. And, you know, to me, I think, you know, with the duopoly, they kind of work hand in hand. But I honestly think without some significant event that she does, that people are going to run back to Hillary again. And it's going to be the same old once again. But, you know, Patricia, who basically said earlier, and I agree with Jay about Patricia. I think she's very intelligent in what she says on your show. But when she said that if I had a gun to my head and I had to vote for Trump or Hillary, I'd just say pull the trigger. I don't want to vote for either one of them. Just pull the trigger on me.
What is the resistance that she referred to, you think?
Well,
do you think she means by the resistance?
That's the whole thing. I'm like, what is the resistance? That's the question that I'm asking. what is she trying to resist? I mean, if it's just Trump, then, I mean, that's going on already. I mean, there's a resistance against Trump already, so we don't need that. But what resistance? That's the question that I want to know.
Well, this is developing very nicely. This is going to be important, this discussion that we're having here, because it is intended to open up our eyes once again. And we cannot ignore these things. They may look subtle, they may look, you know, normal even, but there is something behind it. And we know enough of the Clintons both to know that there's nothing is as it seems there. There's always something else underneath what they say, and we just want to become alert to it. Thank you so much. Good to hear from you. Daoud from New York, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hello, Yatrice. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. Greetings to your audience as well. Well,
thank you.
Yatrice, I'm a member of COMOCODA, that's the Committee to Mobilize Against Dictatorship in Haiti. And our group held a press conference protest on Tuesday morning in front of Medgar Evers College, that's on Bedford Avenue, to denounce, you know, this invitation that Rudy Crew made to Hillary Clinton to be commencement speaker, and also to award her this honorary doctorate. Now, when we got there, we realized most of the students and even some faculty and staff in the school, they didn't even know about this. So that was very interesting. Now, and I have to tell you, we got a lot of support in front of the school, like students and faculty staff, when they realized, other people in the community, that they didn't know about this and they oppose it as well. They would never agree to this. And I have to tell you, yesterday when I was listening to your program, we were very, very happy, because before we launched this movement, when we heard this, we said, of course, we're going to fight to win. But when I heard you yesterday, I said, definitely we're going to win with your chief on board and your energy. I hope that the listeners, and I have to tell you, a few people called us after your program, including United African Movement, Brother Maddox's organization, to let us know that they support this initiative. And for the audience, what we want to say is that, you know, the Clintons, the Democratic Party, their what we call the black misleadership class, you know, they have their plans. But, of course, we need to have ours.
Exactly.
And as you said yesterday, this is not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
That
should be our attitude. You know, I should let people know. We haven't, I didn't get any information from Daoud. We haven't planned this or talked about this or anything. It's just that I got wind of it through a friend. And I said, this is outrageous. You know, as I said to the audience yesterday, I had an entirely different topic to talk about. I said, oh, no. We got to get on this right away.
So we're going to continue our protest at Medgar Evers, and, you know, it's not going to happen. We know that. But we're asking the audience. We're going to give out two phone numbers. First of all, Rudy Crew, you know, this lapdog for Giuliani, people should remember him, you know, who got to, and then, you know, when Giuliani was tired of running all over him, threw him out. He went to Miami school system. They threw him out. And then he was brought here at Medgar Evers to do exactly what we see him doing here. The number for his office is 718-270-5000. 718-270-5000.
Now, Rudy Crew, by the way, is the president of Medgar Evers College, who apparently has choreographed or has permitted to be choreographed this insult.
And what we said is that we don't really care how much he got paid to do this, if he spent the money already and he can't give it back, but this is not going to happen. And his boss, I should say, is the chancellor of the CUNY system. His name is James Milliken. His phone number is 646-664-9100. 646-664-9100. So we would love for the audience to bombard these people with phone calls to let them know that Medgar Evers did not fight and did not die for this. And we will not stand for it. But, you know, it's not going to happen. They should start saving their money to give back to the Clintons or whoever, but this is not going to happen. So thank you for your energy, Utrice. Thank you for I don't even want to say solidarity in this, because this is all our fight.
That's
allowing,
correct.
You know, this is not standing with the Haitian community, but this is the family, this Clinton family, who have our kids in these jails, you know, who are, I don't know what else to say about Hillary Clinton. That's not been said. So the only thing is to listen to you, Chief. This is not going to happen.
No, it won't.
Thank you.
It won't. Thank you. Great to hear from you, Dawood. Thanks so much. Dawood Andre has been an activist in the Haitian community for umpteen years now. And I will tell you something. Come rain, come shine, for years, you can count on a group, it may be small, it may be large, of Haitian people protesting in front of Hillary Clinton's office, protesting in front of other legislators' offices, calling attention to the carnage that the Clintons had done in Haiti. And I have never seen a more dedicated group. They don't care whether it's rain or shine. They are out there, and they constantly ask one question. Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, where is the money? Where is the money? They're talking between $6 and $10 billion alone in one project, and that was the rebuilding project after the earthquake in 2010. So we must stand with them. We must stand with the community. It's all our fight. This is not going to happen. That's my view. Well, we have Ali. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Hi. Okay, Ali. I'm so sorry about the shortness of the time that you have. If you wish, you can just forego it and go full blast tomorrow instead, where you can stretch out and not have to hurry.
Yeah, it's okay. I have been away for over 2 weeks. I heard a few times that people have said that you had a problem. So I hope that you're doing better, and I will call tomorrow maybe. But I'm so glad to have this information about the CUNY, because I just wanted to say that all that I was getting ready to call somebody so we could go over there on May 24. But I will be calling this number.
June 6th is the commencement.
Okay, June 6th.
But we'll get more information on that as we go. I just really learned about it. I mean, I wasn't contacted directly by anybody or asked by anybody to talk about it, but I learned about it yesterday, and I decided, okay, I'm on. So
very good.
We're going to have to talk about it.
I just wanted to tell you that the information was given on Channel 1. Somebody told me that they saw the announcement about this on Channel 1 here in New York City.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that information. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. We constantly have to recalibrate ourselves because, after all, this is the way we're built. we are concerned about the world. We are concerned about what's going on with people. We are concerned about what we can do to help and alleviate suffering and to call those who are accountable into account. So this is the way we built. And we constantly have to ask the questions and, you know, pay attention to developments, because they may not look significant, but they really are. And we have to get out of the feeling of discomfort about asking hard questions, even of the people who we think are, quote, on our side, unquote. It isn't always the case. So that is part of the process of keeping people accountable. I am so delighted to be in your company. I say that all the time, and it is absolutely true. I am so delighted that we strive all the time to give the best of ourselves. There's no right or wrong. I'm not concerned about who's right, who's wrong. I'm concerned about, are we thinking? Are we thinking? And are our actions informed by our thinking? And are we building community through talking with each other? That's the purpose of this program and of the station, to facilitate the growth of community, of like-minded people, even if you're not like-minded people. But hopefully in the discourse, we could learn a thing or two from each other. So thank you so much for joining me today. Stay tuned. Expanding Mind with Eric Davis. You can reach me at leadstories, L-E-I-D, stories at gmail.com. Tomorrow is Free Your Mind Friday, so get ready for that. Everything is in play. No rules. You say what you want. Okay. A pleasure always and a great privilege to be in your company. We see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.